I am not the bad guy. I am not the bad guy. I am not the bad guy, not the bad guy. No.
Good evening and welcome. Hide your nostalgia-sucking demon, because we have a very special, heartwarming guest visiting Trundle Manor. Whether you've got a brother of your own, or you've always wanted one, this is for you, my little Trundle Files. Now let's go on an adventure to the attic-based After Dark Hollows of that 90s kid TV program known only as the Trundlecast.
I am not the bad guy you once thought I was. I am not the one who drove you into dark and lost.
Welcome to Velda's Movie Trivia Vault, where I'm going to give you the answer to last week's question, which was, what classic Universal horror movie did Gloria Stewart, the old lady from Titanic, co-star in? And the answer is The Invisible Man. She played his girlfriend. She did a few more movies after that and was virtually unknown until the late 70s, until she got the part in Titanic. She was the only cast member who was actually alive when the boat sank in 1912. She lived to be 100 years old, just like Rose in the film. Thank you, Trundlephiles. I hope that wasn't too hard for you. Join us at the end of this podcast for the next question in Velda's Movie Trivia Vault. Stay tuned.
Grab like a running back, I jump into your head. Knock out the old crud and give you the new rub. I am trying to kill your ignorance, your arrogance, your lack of sense. I am trying to end your apathy.
Good evening, Trundlephiles. This is Mr. Arm going out of the Trundle Manor attic for the Trundlecast. We've got one heck of a show lined up for you today. We talked about all the things that have been going on with Trundle Manor on the roundup, and the past couple weekends were insane. We finally played a little bit of catch-up, and we talked about that on the Trundlecast roundup this evening. The interview that we have is quite intense as well, so we're putting a lot of stuff together, and we're leading you through the actual insanity of the Trundle Manor lifestyle. There's not as much drinking on this podcast, but for this episode, but it's not too bad. I think that we kind of pulled it off a little bit, and you should hopefully be able to see what really goes into the life and styles of Trundle Manor and how we get to where we are and what we do with what we do. So on to the roundup.
I am not the bad guy. I am not the bad guy. I am not the bad guy, not the bad guy.
Well, hello, Trundle Files, and welcome back to yet another Trundlecast. We have been out of the attic for quite some time now.
For so long.
And I'm sure that you understand that, because Trundle Manor is always busy and always producing for you, the Trundle public. With me in the attic, as always, is Velda von Minx.
Hello.
I am Mr. Arm. Hello. And we have had quite a eventful set of weeks.
Yeah, 2-3 weeks. I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, it's been a hell of a time. And where did we leave off? I know that we were talking about doing the Atrocity Show.
Well, before that was Pizza Fest.
We had Pizza Fest before
that.
I think
we left off making things for Pizza Fest.
Making things for Pizza Fest.
Sounds right.
I created some sculpted and molded pizzas that I used for the trophies, but also I tried to sell, and nobody bought those. But, and we had, let's see, what else did we do for that? I think that we were just nervous about having to run the pizza pinup contest.
It was the first time for this show, too. And I had made the pizza pinup girl sash that was shaped like a giant slice of pizza.
That thing was amazing.
And I made a skirt, too, that was done up with cheese fabric and little pepperoni appliques, which is the only time I've ever gotten to say pepperoni applique, and it made me kind of happy.
Yeah.
The skirt did not turn out as well, though. But, you know, it was one of those kind of things. It was an experiment in pizza. But the show itself was amazing, and I've never seen Zombo so happy, I don't think.
He was elated with what we did for the show. Oh. And I think that he had in his mind this idea of what we were before, which was a drunken mess. Mostly me. But when I hosted a pinup contest for one of the rant fests that he does.
Yeah.
And I
I missed because I was at work for the whole thing.
Yeah, and I understand him maybe not. Well, I think that there was one moment when Spaz, who was my other half, at the announcing, and you know, he said, just don't say the C word because we're on mic and there's kids around. And I go, what, cunt?
Yeah, but apparently
I like, said it right into the microphone.
Do you mean cunt? Yeah, really was, belligerent.
Yeah, it was pretty belligerent.
I'm so sorry. I
thought
that
was more entertaining though, because I don't know. I like to see drunken messes on stage.
Sure,
that's something major for me. But this time we did it completely
hopped up on energy drink,
booze free.
Yeah,
no booze. Very weird for Toronto Manor. And I think it was great.
It was remarkably entertaining still for us, too.
It was good because it was supposed to be kid-friendly and family-friendly and all this bullshit.
You were great, and you got so many compliments from people, even people that didn't know us, you know, not that that matters, but saying how great of an MC that you were, because you kind of just fell into it, I think, that day. You were going to do the pin-up thing. But
it's all I was supposed to do, and, you know, they had me doing every half an hour, you know, announcing the next band and...
Hey, you're great. Say more things.
Yeah, like, hey, there's going to be some Rocky Horror Kids performing, which I didn't know what the fuck to say about them. I'm like, these fucking awkward teenagers are going to play Rocky Horror in the middle of the park. And the lady running it, our good friend, help me out here.
Jess.
I thought it was Jess. I just didn't want to fuck that up.
Yeah.
Anyway, our good friend Jess, she ran the other half that was like a maker's fair kind of a thing for
craft
it's second shift crafters and that was all, you know, like people that have other jobs and do crafts on the side. There were some pretty good people there too,
a lot of our friends.
Yeah, and she came up and she said just say this, you know, for these guys, because she works at the Hollywood, and I guess they were part of the Hollywood.
That's right. She's
and
on her board,
she said,
I think, or something.
She said, how am I, how would I say, you know, if this is a little adult, if you have kids? I said, just don't.
Yeah.
I said, just let it happen. It, you know, people can leave the kids away if they want to. I mean, really, what can you do at that point?
That's,
you know, if you,
you
want to,
really
if it's going to happen, just let it happen.
Because I can't
people
believe
can react
how people
how
feel
react.
About what their kids are allowed to see. And if they see something that makes them uncomfortable, then they can just shield their eyes and walk away.
Yeah, that's all.
But if you say on record, this is not safe for work or whatever.
It's
then
better to beg forgiveness than ask permission.
Yes,
so,
always.
So we go for that a lot at Toronto Manor, which gets us into trouble every once in a while, but we can handle ourselves. And but yeah, so that was fun, and I got to dress as like a 70s sleazy game show host.
Oh, it was perfect.
And with
pizza,
you know,
bow tie.
Pizza bow tie, ruffled yellow 70s tuck shirt, so it looked like cheese
shirt,
and a red newscaster's jacket. And I did get some sound bites, so I might throw that into this podcast.
Oh, I hope you do. I haven't even heard
that'll
them
be kind
yet.
Of fun. Yeah, I haven't even heard them
okay.
either. They're not great, but I did get Helga, and I know I got Zombo
and Spaz,
I think I got Spaz, Melissa, and possibly Jess.
Okay,
and that was fun.
Good.
But you know, and it was really hard running the pinup contest because, you know, I'm used to the car show.
Yeah.
Where, you know, girls come dressed for the... We had one girl dressed for the pinup, but she didn't end up staying for it, unfortunately. I didn't get to talk to her, really.
Honestly, I told her about it as soon as she walked past the booth, and she had no idea. I think...
That's weird, yeah.
Yeah, maybe
because
she
was definitely
just
dressed like a 1950s pinup girl.
She was. Like,
really
she had the
cute
hair done and the pencil skirt, like really, really went for it.
And
but I can't assume
I guess
that's
they
her
just
everyday
didn't
dress.
Stay late. You know,
I just
whatever.
Don't assume that anybody but us does that
but,
for everyday. But,
you know, for the car shows, you know that people are there for that. It's a little bit more adult, so you don't have to worry about being kind of gross and lascivious.
It's more of the culture, too, you know.
Yeah, and they understand. They know what to expect, too.
Yeah.
And but with something like this, you know, and at the car shows, like, there was a very small amount of little kids, so I would go up to, like, little girls that were there and say, hey, do you want to join the pinup contest?
Because that's cute.
Yeah, I do. You know, it's not all about sex for pinup contests anymore. It's just kind of about fun. I think that the last one that I remember with the Drifters show was one of the grandmothers was
and
a
your
winner
mom
on it,
was
you know?
In it for
and
the first one.
Yeah,
like,
who
it's
gives
not
a shit?
Blatant sexuality beauty contest meat market thing, like at all.
It's more about, you know, just entertaining people and having fun
and feeling,
you know,
special and you know, being silly, really.
So the girl that won, she went by
Serotonin,
right? And she was, it seemed, Asian of descent. I don't know if that's okay or bad to say. But I think that she won the votes because she had a hell of an attitude.
She did. She had a great
attitude.
She
was cute, definitely, too. But
and
she
was in one of the pizza
attitude.
Eating contests, too, for Spack
and
Brothers.
That, I mean, that was like...
Wailed on some pizza.
Yeah, she was all about the pizza fest. And I think I don't know if it could have gone to a better person. for, you know, in the crew.
Yeah.
That was there. We did have some friends that joined up with a pinup contest.
Our good friend April made an amazing pizza skirt and a whole little pizza barrettes, and she was very cute.
But the other girl was a little bit more outgoing in that she got people to vote for her more. That's just kind of the way it goes. It was fun. It was very nerve-wracking leading up to it because I kept thinking, I don't think I have anyone. I don't know how the hell to do this. And of course, Velda dressed up in a beautiful pizza skirt. You know, her with pepperoni, and it
which
was
is funny
spandex.
I literally got it on eBay from some Korean place that sells things that I had no idea if it would fit me or not. Yeah. And all they sell is tight spandex dresses for club wear. But
I want
had
you to
one.
Just wear that stuff all the time, forever.
It looked really hot on me, and it looked like pizza. It was the perfect pizza.
It was great. Pepperoni. It looks like our bed sheets.
Yes, it does. Yeah. That's the photo of me that we used
this was
for
the year
calendar
of the
and
pizza.
Everything.
It was something about that.
Yeah.
But
I need a whole pizza wardrobe now.
Yeah, and I guess upcoming is a pickle fest, which I'm not going to be able to turn away. I don't know. Uh-huh. It's not like the pizza fest where Zombo is running it, so there's like one dude running it. I think that there's...
I think this is through Heinz, because they said it was like on like the north side on one of those bridges. I feel like this is probably
but
more corporate.
But there is
going to
be a pizza, or a... see,
you're stuck on pizza now.
During that pizza fest, I said pizza so many times that I felt like I could never get away from
forever.
It. Anyway, but there's going to be a pickle juice drinking contest, and I'm going to win that.
All you. Oh,
hopefully,
my God.
Hopefully they have a shitter next to the place, because if you...
It would only be fair.
From experience drinking pickle juice, when you drink a lot of it, or eat just two actual Heinz regular dill pickles, you will shit your brains out.
Well, I'm back in the saddle again. we interrupt our Trundlecast to bring you an important news bulletin. The bitch is dead! No more horrible droning wench sitting in my chair and stinking it up with her dime store perfume! I had to use a sharpened riblet bone I had been hiding in my anus, but I finally got the job done! We in the attic would like to apologize for any nausea you may have experienced during the last Trundlecast due to her shrieking. Well, that's all I have you, really. I simply wanted to gloat a bit. This has been your senior newscaster returning you to the Trundlecast, already in progress.
Just immediately, it cleans you out. I don't know. There's something about the salt in it.
The acidity, probably.
But I really hope they have porta potties nearby, because I'm gonna drink jars and jars and jars until I win. Because screw that shit, no one's gonna beat me.
Yeah, I don't know what exactly drinking acidic things does to the inside of your lining of your stomach or whatever. But you with your lemon juice and pickle juice,
you better hope. Used to drinking that stuff.
You should have some Pepto Bismol with you that day.
Yeah, I'll be okay. I can't lose to someone else. That's all I can say. So that's coming up. I don't know anything about it, but that's coming up. And then we did, and these are two things in a row. This is why we didn't do the podcast.
Two weekends
because
in a row,
we were preparing for Pizza Fest. And then the next weekend we were preparing for Atrocities, but that whole weekend was crazy. There were crazy goddamn things happening that entire fucking weekend. And right before Atrocities was a sex toy party that was hosted by a drag queen, and that was at Trundle Manor. So we were, you know, we allowed the space, and I stayed in the basement working on squirrel mermaids,
which went over very well.
Very
and honestly,
well.
I did too. Stay in the basement. It was. Yeah.
And Velda was making cakes and little paintings.
Cake boxes, this was hosted by a friend of ours. It was like one of those Tupperware kind of parties, but it's sex toys instead of kitchenware.
Yeah. So that was something we couldn't pass that up.
Yeah. Vivian Vixen was the drag queen.
Yeah. I didn't. I don't even think I got to say hi to her. Him.
Yeah.
So we had that going. Now this is just a good example of the Trundle Manor weekend, and why our place is so crazy. What are you doing with your mouth?
Sorry.
Stop doing that. Why our place is so crazy? Because we had that going on Friday. Saturday we had to hop. Well, and also leading up to that, I was working on the limousine.
Right. Oh, that's right. That was all week.
Yeah, the Mad Max limousine. I put new exhaust sticking out of the hood because I had an exhaust leak in the regular exhaust, and this is how I fix exhaust. And some of our friends came by, and Alex, and this was throughout a couple weeks for this, but and Derek, and did anyone else help
us?
Well, Josh came, yeah, in the last week, and they helped me work on it. And we painted the whole thing flat black and cut the holes in the hood. Sean came by to help. He was a big help. And we cut holes in the hood, had the stack pipe sticking straight out of the hood. So when I drive, I get a little bit cross-eyed, but it's not too bad. It's really okay. It sounds badass. Looks badass. And then we put the ducky from Death Proof and Convoy.
Which is so badass. God, it looks good.
Yeah, you can't. Pick like it's really strange that a flexing rubber duck with a cigar out of its mouth is the angriest and meanest hood ornament that we could find to put on this limousine.
It is. It's so hilarious too.
Yeah, and the limo also has a Bronco diamond plate steel bumper that I cut to fit, and
basically a monster truck.
Yeah,
bumper.
It's nuts. And then it has three yellow safety lights on the top of it. So slowly becoming Mad Max. But that was also part of that week, right before Atrocities. I had to get it ready. And we got it ready like the day before. I think we got it all running, put back together and ready. Loaded everything into the damn thing. And Friday, I made the squirrels in the basement during the sex toy party. Saturday, we woke up and Velda worked on some awesome little paintings of
messed up teeth.
Tooth decay and various horrible things.
I said, I'm exhausted and I need to work. Get me three cups of coffee and some pictures of gingivitis right now.
That's exactly what she said. So she worked on that. And when the time came, we're pretty good at planning things out because we were like down to the minute perfect for showing up at 6 o'clock.
It was, shockingly well timed.
Yeah, and of course, we got pulled over by a cop for the inspection on the limo, the limo's about to get inspected this week. So,
but beyond that,
really
we just put two
annoying.
Giant fucking crazy hot rod pipes coming out of the hood.
The cop walks up. He walks up and he goes, "This is a badass car, but you're out of inspection." And that's why I pulled you over.
That was a sigh of relief, though.
And he gave us a warning, so he was okay about it. So we got away with that whole shit. And so we set up for Atrocities. We saw tons of people that we know and tons of people that we don't know, but now we know, and they're awesome. And we got to set up next to our good friend, Steph.
Yes.
And what?
I was going to say, you can't move for people in that place that we know. Like, I was looking across the room all night and
at
seeing folks I knew.
Half of them we knew.
The Atrocity Exhibition is guaranteed to have pretty much every weird kid in the city come out to it.
Yes, it is.
And I say
is,
kid, but I mean, creative,
but it is
dark.
Like, bar none, the best creepy burlesque-ish. Can't even call it burlesque anymore because it's so much more.
It is more.
That. But
it's
it, you know,
like
it started
vaudeville.
Off as burlesque. Yeah, vaudeville. It's very much that.
Yeah,
but,
in the traditional sense of having burlesque and entertainers and dancers and other theatrical experience.
They always have a theme, and this year the theme was
the witching hour.
Yeah, witches. So, and we didn't know how to dress for that, so we just kind of went as the Trundles. So
yeah,
it was fine.
Variation.
That was the most stressful part for me because
how what to wear.
I wanted to. Dressed the part, but I don't have anything that's witchy. And the one thing I did didn't have buttons on it yet, and we didn't have time to sew buttonholes. And
I thought about making something black and flowy and sort of like Brides of Dracula type sheer, but I didn't have any kind of time for that.
Yeah, again, time.
That's all right. Hey, it worked out.
Yeah, no, it was fine. We once we started seeing some other people that are kind of in the same business as us, wearing cabana shirts and t-shirts. Then we thought we're doing okay in our tailcoats.
That's the thing is, we always think we don't quite try hard enough. Yeah. And then we look at what other people do and they're actually not trying. And all we could do is pull the dumbest thing out of our wardrobe and still be kind of okay.
Yeah. So
I forget that.
Yeah. So we felt pretty good about that. And that was an awesome show. We sold a lot of stuff. We met a lot of people. We, networked. We saw beautiful dancing and singing. And
friends of ours, too, that are just so astonishingly
incredibly
talented.
And I'm very jealous of that. I wish that we were that talented.
We're not performers.
And so we got to see that. And we were just lucky that they let us in because, you know, it was, they do a very limited space and were really nice to let us in this year. And we hope to be back for the next consecutive years.
We would love to come back. We were right next to the stage.
Yeah,
too,
we want to be as much a part of those people as we can. They're great people. Yeah, we were right next to the stage. That was a lot of fun. And my squirrels sold before the show even started, all three of them.
Yeah, which was, we have to make more.
Yeah. Two of Rachel's, the Velda's cakes sold. One of them sold immediately. One of them sold a little bit later. And, you know, at least two. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bunch of paintings. And just,
Lot of her paintings. She almost
sold
out.
We sold a couple of Lego Trixies. And well,
which we never sell Lego Trixies. Yeah. So that was really cool.
Just really good. It was very heartening to us because we've done a lot of shows where we don't do well.
Yeah, nobody buys anything.
Yeah, people think we're too weird for most like craft type shows or whatever.
We
like,
don't have a place to
maybe
fit.
They'll like us here. But
you know, even haunt cons were iffy, you know, because people were looking for fake things.
Yeah, we did well there. And we did well at ZombieFest.
Yeah, I don't think we could do haunt con again and actually pay for it because it's very expensive.
Yeah, well, they change cities every year anyway.
ZombieFest does seem like it garners something for us.
Yes.
Every year.
Although, unfortunately, it was better the year before this past one when it was free still. Which, who knows? I feel bad there were so many complaints they may switch it.
Anyway. So we did that, and then on...
Sunday.
On Sunday, we had a wonderful Gangbusters Day as well, and that's because we had... Big Pete from Pete and Pete.
Pete.
Mike Marona.
Yes.
Was interviewing. He interviewed us for some kind of YouTube or TV. I'm still not quite clear on what the hell it is.
I'm not either. What I'm thinking is that it's a YouTube sort of web series where he
travels. I think
they're
trying to get a show started.
Yeah, I think that there isn't one yet. They're just gathering, filming, and then they'll edit it. But it's like a travelogue type thing where he goes to fun places, and he's doing what, Pittsburgh? Like all of Pittsburgh
around
right
here,
now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they said they did the Bahrenhof and a few other places.
Toonzam, maybe. Toonzam, but he also has a podcast
Museum
with...
Museum of Post-Natural History.
Yeah,
he did a couple of those things. They have a podcast, and
it's... Big Pete and Little Pete, which I'm
Danny and Mike.
Yes.
At Danny and Mike is their Twitter, and I think you can find them through
Adventures
iTunes.
Of Danny and Mike.
The Adventures of Danny
which
and Mike.
Is cute.
Yeah, and so they still do stuff together, Big Pete and Little Pete. And,
the first one you had on this morning was at some Comic-Con, and they had a reunion, right? They had Artie, and they had a bunch of the characters from the show.
That's just
great.
From the beginning. You know, once I found out that they had a podcast, that's all I've been listening to. Listening to it all day today.
Good.
You know, I'm going to listen to it.
He was so nice, really.
Catch up.
He was very sweet and humble.
He was.
And
he came up here and did podcasting with us. So
that will be on here?
I'm not sure. Which ones do we have lined up? I know that we have him, and then we had...
The ghost guy.
The ghost guy was pretty good. I'm not sure. I almost... should we do like a whole... Ghosty podcast?
Yes.
All right. Maybe we'll save that one.
That's too good, and it's
because I
want
to talk just about that. This is now our catch up, and I'd love to put Big Pete's interview on here.
Put Big Pete on this one,
Then we'll do like a whole haunted podcast for that one
because that's too good to be missed. And if anything of that guy said was true, that was life changing.
Yeah, that was another thing that we that happened, and we'll talk about that for the next podcast. Yeah. So I don't want to get too into it.
Ghost things.
But apparently, Toronto Manor is all the haunted,
as
Velda likes to say.
We're not haunted. We're all the haunted.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that and get the whole story, which is incredibly interesting to us and terrifying, and it explains a lot of things. So
yeah, we learned a lot we didn't even know. So
right. So stay tuned for that. It's very emotional and very scary. if you've ever visited or want to visit Toronto Manor. We don't tout ourselves as a haunted location, but... I think
maybe
we might have to do
can.
That. We might have to do that now. If Charlie will let us.
Yes.
So that was, we'll talk about that later. And we had, what else did we have going on? I know. And then after Big Pete and the crew was here, then we took the new limousine, which we have only driven to the south side and back.
Right.
With the crazy new pipes that are very loud. And we drove to Cleveland.
Yes.
Because we felt like it going to the Lego store.
Yeah. We did well at the Atrocity Exhibition.
Yeah, and then we spent all of our money.
Fuck it, let's get Legos.
Going to the Lego store.
We got the Quickie Mart that we were currently still working on.
Simpsons Quickie Mart. So that's what's going to happen in the rest of tonight.
Yes,
so
this
podcast is a little bit late once again. It's because I cannot stop working on Legos.
Yes, and if we don't get this out, I guess this is going to be out before then. Our movie night coming up this next week on the 27th is Vincent Price's birthday. So we're showing House of Wax and the original, which is Mystery of the Wax Museum from 1933 with Fay Wray. But I was going to switch.
You just glossed right over the Lego thing. We were talking about that.
I'm sorry.
No, you just shot ahead there.
I didn't realize you were done.
I was going to talk about the trip. It was a pretty big trip.
Let's talk about the trip.
Because we drove 2 hours to Cleveland just for Legos. And also for White Castle, which apparently isn't fucking there anymore.
There are no White Castles.
We didn't get to go to White Castle. And
we forgot to get Four Loko, I realized today.
I knew that we didn't get it. I wasn't in the mood after the White Castle thing was done.
It's not good.
The trip was very long and exhausting because the exhaust is quite loud. So
yeah,
that's the whole thing. But on the way back, we had our final thing just to wrap up our weird-ass little weekend.
Oh, God.
And we're driving and Val just passing out in the seat next to me. And I look over, and a lot of times cars will slow down to look at Trixie or the hot rod or now the limousine because it's different, and they'll slow down and look at it. And I don't look at them because I don't know. I don't want to acknowledge them. And then what do? I give them the peace sign. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed
to do.
Sign. So I panic. So instead of panicking, I just don't look at them. But this time I looked over, this little black car slowed down. And I look over, and eating a bag of chips was Tom Savini driving.
And this
being
is the middle
driven.
Of Ohio.
Yeah.
He was being driven.
It was on the Ohio Turnpike. He was being driven. And obviously back from some kind of convention because they had a bunch of shit in the backseat.
A bunch of toys that looked
something
like,
with Game of Thrones. I don't know. And he didn't acknowledge me, and I only glanced enough to try to recognize him. So I'm trying to wake up Velda, and I said, look over, and she looks to the right, and I go, no, look to the left, hurry. And she confirmed that it was him.
Yeah, it was definitely him.
and then they drove off in front of us, and the license plate says zombie.
And like, oh, there's no question.
So I tweeted him, and he just said, thanks for, oh, it's nice to know whose that was. And so it was kind of cool.
I thought you were going to mention the weird auto parts store.
Oh, shit.
Situation.
Well, that was before we ended up making the trek home.
Yeah.
You want to tell that one?
Yeah, I was telling China about it today. So we ended up stopping at, I don't even know what weird small town in Ohio that we had never been to before, had no reason to.
It was by Cleveland.
It was a suburb of, I guess, Cleveland. And we needed new windshield wipers. So we went in, and it was this regular, dumpy-looking guy you'd see at an auto parts store. And this younger, kind of pseudo-punky chick, and it could have been literally anybody if we had lived in the same city as these people. Maybe we knew them. But they acted like they knew us, and it was really creepy.
Immediately.
Like, oh, hey, it's you guys.
Hey, I haven't seen you guys in a long time.
And we're like, you've never, ever seen us. And then the guy, you said you were driving he said, what kind of car are you driving? Or something to indicate he knew that you had other weird cars. And I don't remember exactly what he said.
What are you driving today?
What are you driving today? You said it's the 96. He goes, oh, are you sure it's not a 76?
Yeah, which is... Like, what?
Weird. And then she was asking me about my clothes and stuff. And as we were leaving...
I don't know if they were high or... They might have just been fucking with us. Maybe they're like, I get bored, so this is what I do.
That's reasonable, being in stupid retail, just fucking with people. But as we left, it was like, all right, well, good to see you guys.
Well, and he said, I see you got your skull rings. You said that you have a whole drawer full of rings that you switch out at home, right?
Yeah, that's right. He said you talked about your rings... last time, or whatever last time was. It was really weird.
We had no connection to these people that I know of, and I don't remember ever going to an auto parts store. We've been out to that Lego store before, but I don't know why we would have gone to an auto parts
store. And even if we did, it would have been once.
Once.
No reason to remember. As soon as we left the store, we both looked at each other and said, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
It was so
twisted.
Weird. It was a Twilight Zone.
So that was only one weekend at Trundle Manor, and that's why we were doing the podcast, so we can explain just how, just what the bizarre little occurrences that happen at the manor and how the things work around us, because it's quite amazing when we actually think about what our life is. Because sometimes I like to think about the normal Joe who comes home from his, union job or whatever job that they're doing.
Sure.
And sits on the couch and plays the computer and goes to sleep.
And that's it.
Wakes up, goes
and
back to work.
That's life.
That's life.
Maybe you go fishing on Saturday morning or something.
And we work normal jobs too, but once we get home, we can't stop.
We only work normal jobs because we have to.
Right. That's the only reason.
To pay the bills.
And then we do our passion when we get home, which is just fucking tear our hair out of our heads.
Yeah.
Going insane. But it's been one hell of a ride. We apologize heavily for not picking up the TrundleCast.
We're going to get back on track, though.
Yes, we are. It's very important to us because I like doing this. And
it's fun.
It is fun. So, Trundle Files, I hope that you forgive us. Velda, is there more that we are missing to talk about?
Anything
coming up?
That's most of the main stuff,
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't even fathom what's coming up. We've been so under thumb.
I looked, and other than movie night next week, and there's a couple more shows we may do. There's the Squirrel Hill Night Market, the Deutschtown Music Festival.
Is that in the calendar? Because you and Paula keep talking about that, and I have no idea.
I put them all in the calendar. I just need to figure out when the deadline is to be registered. And there was one other setup type show. Oh, the Yart Sale at the Pittsburgh Center for the Arts.
Yeah, we should talk about that because they sent me something to do that.
So, but that's not at least for weeks any of those. So I guess we're gonna slow down. We say that now tomorrow.
Oh yeah, no, we're not gonna slow down. But
more than we.
I still have a peg leg to make. I've got a whole list of things that I gotta do tonight that, I made for myself to do. On top of building Quickie Mart Legos.
Yes, that's number one right now.
That is number one. As soon as we're done here, I might poop. But that has nothing to do with this podcast. And I don't know why I said that, so I'll probably cut that out.
All right.
Yay. But, I think that I'm going to get more into making crypto taxidermies. That was a lot of fun, making the squirrel man.
People really like those.
They're all real parts. They're all real parts.
Yes.
Half squirrel, half some kind of bassy fish thing.
Yeah.
And all expertly preserved and non-expertly crafted because they are hilariously gross and strange looking.
Yes.
But I think that's what makes them. Each one of them had their own personality.
Very much.
And your cakes are getting bar none. We're just trying to figure out how to make them more creepy and Trundle-centric, which I know they don't need to. I just personally,
I would be more than happy to make spookier cakes.
I think I'm going to try to sculpt you like a little skull cherry to put on the top of
that.
Or, just something little.
Yeah, whatever. Something subtle.
But, we've got a full plate ahead of us, as always, Trendophiles. We'll keep you informed on the things going on. We've got an art show coming up that I'm going to try to... June 6th that I'm going to try to put on the website very soon. Maybe that's tonight. That's one of my things. So keep an eye out for that. That'll be a lot of fun. I know that he's got two people that want to get tied up, so we're going to have to contact our contacts for tying people up. That just seems to be a staple for our shows.
I was going to say, is that just everything now?
I don't know. I like it. I don't mind it.
Yeah.
I like having that kind of thing going on.
Sure.
So that's what we've got, and stay tuned for the interview with Mike Marona, half of Pete and Pete. And we'll give some plugs to him somewhere else. So make sure to look for The Adventures of Danny and Mike.
Yes, podcast.
For their podcast, which is fun. And it's a lot like Trundle Manor's podcast without the music. But they're celebrities, so it makes more sense to listen to them and all that junk.
Sure.
And someday we have to get both of the Pete's here for a little bit of a podcast.
Yes, Pete Sandwich.
Yes, Pete Sandwich. So you'll hear Mr. Arm being a little nervous and Velda being a little bit nervous trying to talk to Big Pete. On this interview coming up. So that's it for this roundup. And
until next time.
Good evening. Well, that was our roundup. I think we talked a little bit about everything that's been going down. The limousine, atrocities, Pizza Fest, all that came to a head. All that stuff that we were talking about in the last TrundleCast finally came together and you got to hear it. And I think that we might have even talked about the interview that's coming up, which is an interview with Big Pete from Pete and Pete, Michael C. Marona. He was from a whole lot of other stuff, and you hear on here my faux pas of not knowing everything about an actor before he shows up to take an interview, but I didn't really think that I was going to get him to sit down. That was kind of a last-minute thing, and you can hear how nervous I am. So let's listen to that. Up next is Michael C. Marona's interview with the Trundles. Enjoy.
Just Michael C. Marona recommending Trundle Manor. Come for the tubes, stay for the taxidermy. Just like to say thank you to the Trundle Manor.
We thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
And we're going to... I want to get more involved in... I want to grab up your podcast and get all involved.
Yeah, we listen to podcasts all day, yeah, so we have to check you out. Yeah.
I appreciate it. Yeah, DannyandMike.com is like, they're all right. We have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah. Awesome.
We traveled to Pennsylvania recently. Went to see... isn't exactly Rockabilly. We went to see The Replacements and Superchunk in Philly.
Cool.
Right on Penn's Landing on the Warner like last weekend. So I went to back-to-back weekends in Pennsylvania.
Nice.
Where do you live now?
I'm sitting on my microphone.
Poor thing.
I'm in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Which is the Manhattan of New York City. It's a bit weird.
Yeah.
But I've been living there for about 12, 13 years now.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. What do you call it? If you're into like swinging your arms around and punching podcasters in the face, you would go to either New York City or to Los Angeles, which I guess you could, if you wanted to swing your arms around, punch any kind of person in the face.
There's plenty of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's... There seems to be a lot of them coming out now, which makes me happy. When I was, you know, when I work on projects, I turn on a podcast because then music is fun for a while, but then eventually it repeats and you get stuck with it.
And TV is too distracting.
Yeah, there's so many good podcasts out there that you get to listen to a story. And it doesn't have to be long because it's a podcast.
And you can work with your hands at the same time on something else while getting this.
It's like
this.
Watching TV without watching TV, you know, it's... The easy way to put it.
And or listening to old radio shows like they've done for 100 years.
Yeah, well, because we don't get a chance to relax and listen to radio shows or watch TV or anything.
Yeah.
So
do you like the
way to do it.
The Thrilling Adventure Hour? Are you guys familiar with that?
I don't know that one.
Yeah, they're pretty funny as heck, too. You should check out Thrilling Adventure Hour.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah. I listen to the Drabblecast, which is short stories. That's really good. They're all kind of bizarre and twisted, but it's very well produced. And we listen to the Hairy Mango, which is one of my he's going off of the air at the end of this year, but I always recommend him because it's he talks really fast and they're like
five minute segments of complete nonsense,
but he's just bursting the whole time.
He writes this long and you have to listen to him because it's all little jokes,
so
and
quick
things, and it's fun, you know. It's a good like little thing to pick up on.
Maybe you guys could curate a podcast of like tunes and stories for stuff, you know, people who are of the same ilk, you know what I mean, under the Trundle umbrella.
Yeah, that's why we've been doing the interviews, and I keep telling people to send in stories too. So since we're only on like the sixth or seventh episode,
we just started, but I mean stories about anything, you know. We have a friend that wrote a song, the Trundle Manor theme song, that now he's doing lyrics to, so that'll, you know, anything people want to give.
So we're going
to
raise some money for a Hammond B3 organ to play that on.
Yes. And or harpsichord.
Yeah, properly done in some sort of pre-19th century instrumental.
That's cool. Well, we can go down. I don't want to keep you too long up here because I just sprung this on you.
I figure those guys are just getting their shots off. Otherwise, we would just be getting out of their way because you know how narrow the house
B-roll
is.
B-roll. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, the downstairs is a circle, and that way you can always stay out of someone's way.
That's cool.
And or chase someone around the house.
That just happened one time.
When you came to the house, did you decide, I mean, obviously you're already living this lifestyle, but did you say you heard the story about what happened with the guy before? Did you have to clean out a lot of his stuff when you first got here?
No,
none of it.
We got the house from a rehab company, so he was the last one to live here. and they acquired it, and that's, as young as we were, that's how we were able to acquire the house, because it was like a 50-50 kind of thing for low income.
Okay.
Which worked out, because I was 20-something, I got 24 or something when we bought the house. And
but they redid everything. I mean, it was new electrical, new plumbing, new walls.
I don't doubt that you took it apart
inside.
Yeah. Sure. They cleared out everything already, and I'm still itching to get pictures of it. You know, just
we've never seen it in his state. Yeah,
I've never seen them before.
I have one photo of like a wall in my room in my apartment from before I was there.
Yeah.
Two teenage kids used to live there, and it's just like, it's just covered with marker.
Yeah.
And that's just funny.
Yeah, very like dated to when they lived there. And so yeah. That's great. And I just keep a picture of it on the wall next to
that's
that
cool.
Wall.
Yeah.
That's always kind of fascinating
just to, remember,
to me, like
exactly.
The life it had before
what
you.
What was here before. Because you don't get to put plaques everywhere. I think at Trundle Manor, you'll have an opportunity to put plaques wherever the heck you want.
That's right.
In a rental or something like that, you're not always going to be able to commemorate everything with a plaque. So it's good to be able to remember things that were there before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. I love that.
We have one picture of Charlie, the guy who lived here, and it's him sitting on the stairs, the front stairs when you come up, and it's so far away you can barely see him, but you can kind of see how different the house looked. It had some
pine
trees and things. Yeah,
it
was more enclosed. That's all we've got.
But sometimes we feel things or hear things, and I want to be more into paranormal stuff, but I'm never convinced, you know.
You're grounded in the tangible.
Believe it or not, he's a realist.
Yeah. There's plenty of stuff in the tangible that you worked for. You'd have to fight all day to get through and into the airport with that outfit.
Yeah.
I don't like to fly.
Oh, I'm metal detectors.
Just because of that. That's the only reason.
Plenty of tangible to deal with before we get to the internet.
I like to have my things on me. But, we had a guy just come through, and he says, I never do this, but... and he started, like, talking about Charlie.
Like, he was hearing things and
really
having
weird.
A full-on conversation. He'd never experienced paranormal before. He came over to shoot a music video.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he just lost his mind, really.
Yeah, and he said, Charlie is showing these other ghosts around. So you have people coming through all the time.
Yeah, according to this kid, tours happen in the afterlife.
Yeah, you're running tours and he's running.
Yeah.
So you've got to charge him for half those tours.
I said, who gets more people, me or Charlie? I got to know.
Yeah, when I moved in, I used to kind of feel more stuff. And I said, as the collection grew, I think Charlie either likes what we're doing or is afraid of us. But it's probably because we've organized his clutter, you know.
He's trying to make sense
what
of something.
Hopefully he likes.
Yeah, according to this kid, he loves it.
So what is you came to Toronto Manor to film for, is it a webisodes thing or what
couple,
are you?
A couple of buddies trying to do a travel show. We're putting together items that are both of interest in pop culture. Destinations around Pittsburgh was something for this. And I feel like we're going to make episodes that are each... should we get to make them, we'll get episodes that are each focused on a different city and the awesome geek things that happen inside that city.
Very cool.
Whatever subcultures you're trying to penetrate. In this case, you guys are painting with a broad brush. We got the shotgun approach today. We got a few things out of the way. But that's just why I happen to be in Pittsburgh this weekend.
That's awesome.
That's way cool.
He contacted me, and we had a back and forth, and I can't remember why I didn't want to do it. Because we had a huge show last night.
Sure.
And we didn't get home till 4 and didn't sleep till 5. We knew that it was going to be like, I'm not going to want to do anything this day. And it's the only day. And so finally he said, I'm sure you're not into this, but you don't seem like the kind of person that this would matter for. And he said, but Big Pete from Pete and Pete is...
He put you over the top.
Is going to be doing the hosting. And I just wrote back, we'll do it. Well, how could I deny?
I didn't realize I was Blake's trump card.
Well, you're a pretty good
for
people of my age.
I appreciate it.
And he wrote back and he said, well, that's great, but is there any reason you changed your mind? He just wrote Pete and sent it.
Not to boil you down to
Blake,
that, but to
no,
me,
Blake,
that's
Blake's
what you
like,
were. You know?
I know I got you, but can you tell me why I got you?
So, we're happy to have you. I mean, it wasn't too hard to wake up in the morning. It was worth it.
Thanks. This place is real neat looking, and you guys certainly presented it. We're very, very well today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And there's, I'm sure you're not looking for anything new now, but there's the Grand Midway Hotel in Midway.
What's the name of that town?
It's about an hour and a half away from here, but they're supposed haunted old Whorehouse Hotel.
That you guys have visited.
Yeah, yeah, a friend of ours owns it. And okay. It's, and now it's more like a poetry brothel.
It's like a bohemian kind of thing. People just live there and drape themselves over things.
Okay, so it's a flophouse salon.
In a way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
we're not allowed to say that out loud. But,
but you want to put together two different words that mean slightly different things.
It's very haunted, too, apparently. So
if you're looking for anything new, eventually. But...
Windburr.
PA. Grand New Wind. Which I had to give them a plug for the hell of it.
Very cool.
We were invited there tonight, but I don't know.
We might just build Legos.
It's one of the two.
This is a wonderful option to have as an adult.
Right. Haunted hotel or Quickie Mart Lego?
Yeah, I see what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's a head scratcher.
I have to call my mom. It's a crisis of conscience.
So what else have you been doing with yourself since I was a child?
Since Pete and Pete?
Yeah.
Well, since Pete and Pete, I dropped out of a really good high school. I graduated from another high school. I went to film school. I did a couple of feature films. I acted in a few feature films. I crewed on a few feature films. I decided to start making documentaries. I stopped making documentaries. I traveled to Japan a few times, traveled to Europe. I took a bunch of pictures and film there. I started working as an electrician on television and film subsequent to that.
Yeah. Behind the scenes, nice.
Yeah, I joined Local 52, the union, in 2007. I've been working very consistently since then. And
films
and television, it's been more films lately. I'm sorry, it's been more television lately, and I really miss films, to be honest.
Yeah.
Most recently,
it's got to have a much different feel to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just the rhythm of the day, the rhythm of the work, and... most recently, I've been working on a Marvel Comics TV show that's going to be on not Netflix coming up, not currently. It's not Daredevil, but the next one.
Cool.
After that, I'm going to work as a best boy.
Yeah.
Which is the second in command, not exactly the boss. He's not the gaffer.
Yeah.
But I'm going to work as a best boy on a new television show with Jennifer Lopez.
Cool.
Yet again, a television show.
But, work, you know?
Yeah.
Work it up.
So that's what's been happening. I do the Danny and Mike podcast with Dan Tamborelli, who you'll remember from Beat and Pete.
Yeah.
We did them right after one of the reunions that we did a few years ago. I guess we started in 2013, so we've been doing it about 18 months. And got about 18 episodes under our belt.
Cool.
And we got a few more coming up. Like I said, a live show in Indiana later on in the summer.
Is it mostly a talking show? Like, do you have a cohesive bond with it? Or...
adhesive bond?
Cohesive, like a main like a main element.
Is there a theme? Yeah, typically we'll theme an episode, but we'll also be having conversations about whatever. There's a featured guest each time. We'd like to have some more bands on. I think Dan is more the rocker. Is going to make that happen more, that we can have some bands that we're interested in. We were able to do a live show with Terra Mellos, who's a band, a math rock band in the, we were in Connecticut for that one.
Okay.
It was good to get some college kids in to see them, but also to see us.
Yeah. Nice.
Really, really good energy to do a live show.
That's cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it really annoying that I started only knowing you from Pete and Pete? Because, I mean, it sounds like you've been doing a hell of a lot of stuff.
Well, I mean, I live in New York and you live in Pennsylvania, so I don't know how else we would meet up. If it was 20 years ago, we might have been pen pals because of something. We both read the same zine about something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But nowadays, we probably just make that connection online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Craigslist would be facilitating all of our...
Gotta watch out for that.
Exactly.
It's dodgy.
Because there can be some sketchy things happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
However, people get somebody together
to come and poop on my chest.
That's the saddest thing about being an artist looking for a job is now Craigslist. Anything listed as artistic or film is all porn. It's all just...
Yeah.
It's very disheartening, you're saying, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, like, is that all I'm worth to you, Craigslist?
Right, exactly.
You feel
quite devalued by the categorization of certain things.
Yeah, and I know that's just how they search for people, but still, it's depressing enough looking for jobs. Yeah,
I hear you.
Lord.
Yeah. We do. She works at an embroidery shop, but she does sewing on the side.
I went to school for costuming.
I mostly just do us
and our taxidermy animals. Yeah. But I
wanted to bring a sewing machine on the truck when I become the best boy next month. I don't know what else I'm going to use it for.
Yeah. Actually.
But I have a sewing machine at home. I'm happy to sew, but we don't get to you know, do a lot of stitching. Maybe in the grip department they have some things to fix, but I don't really have much.
Yeah.
I just want to get it out of the house.
Yeah.
Get it on the truck and start renting it.
Yeah. Nice.
The costuming that you did do, it was not related. Was it more like in this period sense, or what were you when you were studying?
Well, I went to theater school, so it was, you know, whatever kind of show that they had going. And they did let me work on Rocky Horror, which, if you can see me in my house, it works.
Yeah.
But the last one they had me do was The Diary of Anne Frank, which kind of hilariously didn't fit. But I did a movie or two, and then I was working for a while at this special effects studio, and they made Halloween masks for a living.
That must be a lot
of
fun.
Oh my God, it was a dream job, and I'm still like best friends with everybody who worked there.
Okay.
But they, you know, they did things for movies and for TV and for haunted houses. So yeah. I'd like to get back into that eventually.
The horror aspect of things definitely
right.
being an angle of what's going on at Trundle Manor, but
yeah.
also there's the like. The preservation, like, there's the horror in the grotesque, but there's also the horror in the everyday of just the preservation of regular things from a long time ago.
Can
become horrible over time.
Yes, definitely. Well, we both grew up loving Halloween, too.
Mm-hmm.
And everything from Halloween, be it costumes or props or whatever, just degrades into the ground.
That latex.
2 years.
Doesn't last.
The garbage that's not made to last.
Yeah.
You're talking
yeah.
about the stuff like... There was, at some point, there was a shift in where costumes were made, and then they all started, I'm not faulting China or any other country for this, but they all started being made elsewhere or just out of plastic.
Well, just in general, that latex
not to last.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just, the material itself is not built to last, but we realized that real dead stuff lasts a lot longer than the fake stuff, so.
Yeah, we have a major fox from the 1800s.
But mm-hmm. Well, what's her name?
The princess fox.
She's got a little tiara.
Very cool.
Yeah. So that's, you know, it just shows you that if it's preserved, it can stay forever. You know? And things in jars last indefinitely as long as you know what you're doing with them. You know?
So we can preserve all the things in Trundle Manor if we store them correctly and preserve them. That's very good. And your hope is to keep this going on beyond the scope of your own lifetimes and just to keep it going.
Yeah, I'd like to. There was a taxidermist named... I just said his name last night.
Did you?
Anyway, he was in England.
Oh, Huffy McStuffins. I know the guy.
Yes, that's exactly
That's it. The one.
He started doing taxidermy when he was a kid behind his dad's bar in England. And it eventually just filled this giant, garage, essentially. But he would give tours of that. And even throughout the war, he was still giving tours and staying open and... You know, while England was getting bombed, he was still.
Is this,
you know,
the one that we love?
Through.
Is this Walter Potter?
Walter Potter.
Yeah.
But the sad thing is, after he died, his collection just got split up because nobody would buy the whole collection.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they sold pieces of it, and you'd know him if you ever saw scenery of like kittens. All dressed up.
It's a giant kitten wedding.
Yeah,
he has like 45 kittens in full dress.
But he had time to costume
them. The funeral
of
Cock Robin, which was all these, you know, he had different birds.
Oh,
with like a little horse-drawn hearse.
One of them was digging a grave.
There's a folk song about that, right?
Yeah.
That's a traditional song.
I think it was based on the song. Yeah, but everything he did was like a full-scale diorama with scenery and costumes and in miniature. It's great.
And that, the movie with... See, this is why I can't talk, because I don't remember the name.
He's got a not good memory.
So mad at that.
We've all smoked pot this week. Sometime.
Oh,
the movie with Steve Carell.
Dinner for Schmucks? That came out a while back?
Dinner for Schmucks,
okay.
Where he was like a taxidermist that made little rat scenery. That was based on Walter Potter.
Oh, okay.
That whole
That's
thing
awesome.
Was.
Yeah. They figured they were trying to make him the most despicable character possible.
Yeah.
Right?
They were, but it was so endearing. Like, how do you hate this guy? Look at what he can do.
He can do such an intricate, awesome thing.
Yeah.
So, but that's, I don't know. That was always my, you know, that's been my furthering inspiration is the Walter Potter thing, because he did it until he died in his 90s, you know.
Yeah.
In his will, did he ask to be taxidermied or anything?
No,
I don't know. He should have.
I mean, I'm sure I would have heard of that, but.
Oh, yeah. Like it would have been a pilgrimage that
yeah.
Oh, God.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
We get a lot of people that say, I'm going to leave my body to you when I die. I'm like, until you get a lawyer involved, that's not going to happen.
I won't know you when you die.
Yeah.
That's a nice thing to say,
yeah.
But
unless you put
won't.
A note in your pocket when you die,
yeah.
I'm not going to have the strength of legal force.
Yeah. So we do get that every once in a while.
Well, I'm not going to promise you guys my body, but I can promise that I'll tell other people about this place and encourage them.
Awesome. That's all we really ask anyway.
There you go, because eventually you're going to hit somebody who does come through on the body.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I won't know what to do with it.
Well, I mean,
I'll
once
to
you
prepare.
Get
a, yeah, exactly. Do a lot of pigs.
We have a turtle in the freezer because we don't know what to do with that.
He's still
a whole
working
person.
On it.
Yeah, you know, he's on ice.
What do you do with a turtle?
You can always get another freezer, though.
We did.
There you go.
On the back porch.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
We need a third one for if we get human size.
Yeah.
There's got to be specimens. Something in the housing code about that. So we'll just stay up to code. We'll stay up to code
yep,
as we always do.
Code here.
As we do.
Well, thank you for talking
you so
to
much.
Us for a while.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me at Trundle Manor.
Yeah, it was wonderful to talk to you.
Alrighty.
Thank you.
The whole time I'm thinking, I'm going to stand up into the ceiling fan. The whole time I've just been thinking
I worry
that
about that
get,
every day.
I'm gonna get to, well, you have more to worry about than I do. You're taller than I do. But I'm saying...
Well, wasn't that a kick to the proverbial childhood pants, my Trundle Files? We try to bring you something fun and interesting and show you how bizarre it is in this tiny little Swissvale household. And I think that's a pretty good representation. You can hear just how much I don't want to hold him up. And I feel like embarrassed by a lot of things. And like I said, I was pretty embarrassed by the fact that I wasn't up on his movieography. I looked it up later and found out that he was in Home Alone. He was in a lot of stuff. I listened to his podcast, which is The Adventures of Danny and Mike. And it's an awesome podcast. It's just them talking. And it's just kind of a buddy-buddy thing. But it's pretty funny to listen to. And I wish that I would have listened to some of that before he came on, because I would have had some of those inside jokes that are always kind of fun to play with podcasters. But he was a hell of a guy, and it was short. It wasn't a long visit or anything, but he was real nice. You could tell he still had a little bit of that Hollywood. He still has Hollywood in him, which is good, and he lives in New York now. And so I want you to check out the Danny and Mike, The Adventures of Danny and Mike podcast, and support him and support those guys, because it's cool that they're still doing stuff together. Hopefully someday we can get Danny on here as well, which I think he might be more the drinker, so he might be more the Trundle side of things. So we'll see. We'll see if we can ever get that to happen, but that's probably a long shot. But, well, I hope you guys enjoyed that, my Trundle Files. And that's all that I have for the rest of this Trundle cast. Up next is our trivia by Velda von Minx, the beauty, the muse, and the loveliness that is Trundle Manor's better half. So listen to that. I hope you can get it this week. And if you do, let us know beforehand, maybe. That'd be fun to read as well. So make sure to send in some stories. Make sure to send in your hopes and dreams. And if you want to get on the Trundle cast, make sure to contact us. I'm sure there's going to be some sort of an announcer afterwards that's going to give you that information on how to do that. So keep tuned, and I will talk to you again on the next Trundle cast. So, from Mr. Arm this time, good evening.
Welcome to Velda's Movie Trivia Vault, where I share obscure bits of film antiquity for all of you movie vultures who live in the past just as much as we do. Today's question is, what famous play that was later turned into a movie did Boris Karloff co-star in, featuring a joke about his disfigured character's face, why he looks like Boris Karloff? And I'll be back with the answer for you next week, Trundle Files. Thank you.
Well, I don't know about you out there in TV land, my little Trundle Files, but this episode was a bit of a dream come true for me. Who would have thought that a Nickelodeon icon would ever make it to the dank, weevil-infested attic of Trundle Manor? I want to thank Blake Fischera and his Igor, Aaron, for bringing us our special guest, Michael C. Marona. Michael was first introduced to my consciousness as Big Pete from my childhood favorite TV show, The Adventures of Pete and Pete. Now that sure is a kick to the prepubescence, isn't it, folks? We also thank Brian Vamp for allowing us to continue to use his song, Not the Bad Guy, for our theme tune, week after week. We hope you join us next time, boils and ghouls, but while you're waiting, visit trundlemanor.com, where you'll be able to see a list of all of our future events, like gallery shows and movie nights, or book a tour and experience the manor all by yourself. Be sure to peruse our videos and photo pages to get a glimpse into the lives of its inhabitants. And you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Tumblr just by typing Trundle Manor into the search boxes. Don't forget to send your stories of Trundle Manor, both unusual and unnatural, to the Trundlecast at TrundleManor.com. We may even read them right here. Now it's time to oil up Petunia, pull back the flaps of your trapper's hat, and start digging out that earwax, because you wouldn't want to miss the next Trundlecast.